Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here we go. Steve, you're an amazing husband and you do everything you can to make Nikki happy, which I greatly respect. You are funny and in an annoying way.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Hello, welcome back to Show They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
What's up, everybody? It's the Woo Man.
The Woo Man?
Yeah.
Okay. No Iceman.
People have loved, they started calling me Woo Man.
Uh-huh.
And I'm embracing it.
Woo Man is powerful.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has a good ring to it.
Woman is boss.
What did you say?
Woman is boss.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
People just, it's just empowering.
It is.
Yeah.
Woman empowerment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really am enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah. It's really fun when like you twist the metal thing that the microphone's standing on and then our ears get to hear that. So
yeah.
That's also really cool.
Apologies for that.
I really liked it, actually. I enjoyed it.
Cool.
It was probably the best part of my week.
I'm happy to do it again.
Please don't.
Okay.
It was special the first time.
Okay.
All right. So today we have questions that you have submitted to us in an Ask Us Anything. We are open to you asking us anything. And
yes.
I don't read these questions ahead of time. Although if you ask something lewd and unable to put on the air or put into a podcast, I will have Mark cut it.
We'll probably answer it, but then we'll have Mark cut
it. But mostly you can ask us anything about any topic at podcast@nikki.limo.
Yes.
There's a link in the description if you have a question that you would like to ask about anything. We are not experts.
No.
But we will give you our solicited advice that
also,
you
Also, if you
have
join our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky, we take your questions first.
We do. Yes, we do.
We also do free roll poker tournament there every month.
Yep. Give away lots of cashola.
We do live streams. I do Crypto Corner on there, which is my live crypto show I do every Tuesday night.
And it's really long, too. It's like 3 hours a week of,
we go,
pure
we go there.
Crypto.
We go there.
If you're a real crypto head.
That's right. Or if you're looking to get into it, we're very good at bringing noobs in.
And you get this these episodes a couple days early. And that's patreon.com/sticky, STIKKI. And most importantly, you support the show. So that's really nice of you. Thank you for doing that.
Thank
and
you.
Shout out to our Patreon community, the best community ever.
And our Discord community. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. But back to your questions. So some of you have reported these questions, not reported, sorry, submitted these questions as early as January. I don't think we're too far behind.
No, we're good.
Right now it's mid-February. I think we're pretty good. Okay, I'm going to start with the earliest one, and that is titled, Is Isolation Actually Bad?
Whoa.
We'll find out. Okay. Hi, Nikki and Steve. Love y'all's podcast so much and hearing your input. I hope 2023 blesses each of you with more success. Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much.
I hope the same for you.
I need that. Thank you.
Dear listener, I am a 21-year-old female. Due to a violation of my boundaries, I feel like I have been betrayed by my mom, who might be a narcissist, among other mental issues, and my dad, who didn't do anything directly to me, my best friend of 8 years because she wanted to impress a guy she just met in college. I've cut off people and have been putting a big distance between myself and many people in my life because I love pretty hard and very blindly, and I'm terrible with placing boundaries clearly and honestly. I wonder if isolation is actually that bad. I know I'm the problem in the sense that I have a hard time seeing the red flags and taking initiative to speak up when I feel disrespected / violated / hurt. I ghost people I feel like I can't trust. I just shut down and create distance. I'm at a point where I feel lost with my sense of judgment and self-confidence and feeling open to trusting others. What is the solution to this mess? Thank you for taking the time out to read my message. I truly appreciate it. Take care. Signed anonymous, even though my name is in my freaking email, LMAO.
Amazing.
I won't say your name.
No problem.
Anonymous. Grass Eater 27.
Wow, great. Thank you, Grass Eater 27.
You know, it's a vegetarian lifestyle. I think there's a lot of nutrients in grass.
Okay, good to know. Cows eat grass.
So do grasshoppers.
So my big thing on this is don't overcompensate because of pain. Right? Like you're in pain and so you just want to push everybody away and you're talking about isolation. That's like a pretty stark jump, right? Like I don't think you need to get there. Like having interaction with other human beings and relationships is very positive, and sometimes it's very negative. But to take a few bad experiences and just want to write off the entire subject, I think would be a mistake.
I feel the opposite. First of all, I hope that you're maybe seeking professional help, therapy-wise, for having grown up with a potentially narcissist mother that could definitely shape your self-perception and make it very hard for you to know what's correct judgment and not, like, and make you doubt yourself a lot. Having a narcissist in your life for that many years would definitely lead to a lot of self-doubt. So I do really hope that, number one, you start to see a therapist. And in seeing a therapist, you in turn won't be isolated because you'll be talking to someone that you can trust. It's their job for you to be able to trust them. Although finding a good one is, part of the criteria. So that's, you're gonna have to do some sifting. But once you find one that you connect with, that should be a safe space for you to really unpack a lot of what may have caused this self-doubt. I think she's pushing people away because she lets people in too easily and then they hurt her and she doesn't know if she can use her best judgment. So that's, something that a therapist can help you work through for sure. And the boundaries issue that you were talking about. The reason I'm not opposed to isolation is that I think that spending a lot of time alone is something you should do when you're younger, especially 21. You're pressured a lot to go hang out with friends and have constant socialization. And if you're alone for like 2 seconds, without a roommate or a friend to talk to, then you don't know what to do with yourself in this alone space. And it's scary. And I think that having a healthy relationship with yourself is something you should start to build in your early adult life. And by isolating at least for a couple hours a day, or if you could set aside a specific amount of time where it's just you getting to know you and what you like and really delving into that and being uncomfortable in the aloneness until you become comfortable with it, I think it's huge. I think it's really great. And if you know yourself really well, you'll be able to spot red flags very quickly, because a person will either add to your life or they won't, or they'll be taken away and you can feel it. When you're comfortable with what you have, just as you, as alone as a person, then you can really feel when people are taking away from that, when people are draining your energy, and then you know to stay away from those people and to build boundaries. And then you can start to build your friendship circle on just people that are an energetic match to you.
I don't disagree with any of that.
Yeah,
having a balance is really good. I guess I read what she was saying as like, I don't want to be around people anymore. I'm going to shut down and like move away from society and not in total isolation.
I think that's what people feel like when they've been overstimulated, for sure. And I think,
which I think is a mistake,
a retreat into cleanse, as long as you're doing it with a purpose,
Right, but are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't. I honestly would go to the woods for like a fucking month if I felt too stimulated by society.
Yeah.
I think that it's kind of like healing to get away from, I mean, you have to get away from your phone too, like get away from everything if you're going to do that, and really ground and root yourself. I mean, everybody operates differently. You're an extrovert and you actually get energy from socializing with people. For me, it can completely warp my self-image around.
I don't disagree
too
with
many people.
I'm just saying,
without a solid sense of self.
Yeah, having a sense of self is so important.
Yeah.
I completely agree with everything you said on that. I just think that the idea of I don't trust myself to trust anyone, so I'm going to abscond from relationships, I think is a mistake.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at it as a permanent thing,
yeah, exactly,
for sure. But I think,
well, that's how she makes it sound.
A period of doing that while taking conscious steps to achieve a goal, such as like self-discovery or self-improvement. Reading books, listening to different speakers on the topic, self-improvement type of mindset coaching, that kind of stuff, or seeing a therapist, like doing all of those things while being isolated isn't a bad idea. And then you re-enter society with a newfound sense of self-worth and who you are.
Yeah, work on yourself. That's the biggest thing for this.
Yeah, but sometimes I get why you're like jumping to isolation is because you just feel like it's all overwhelming. Relationships are overwhelming when you don't have a solid sense of who you are.
Yeah, you need to work. You need that. If you don't have that, you need that really badly.
So yeah, that's the cure, is not necessarily going into isolation, but like you can work on yourself without going to isolation. But if you feel you need to do that because people affect your
what exactly is
energy
it,
too much in the process.
In the context of the term isolation, in today's terms, does that mean like you're just cut off from everybody? Like,
I mean, it could probably mean different things for different people, but yeah, I see it as like a lot of alone time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like I need to pay my bills and stuff, so like I'm paying my bills, but like I'm cut off from like
social interaction.
Yeah, like I'm willingly taking myself out of any social things, like gatherings.
Yeah, okay, and it's being done because of a traumatic event. That's where I get. I'm afraid to tell somebody, yes, you should isolate because overreacting, or not really overreacting, but like over responding to something like that.
Sure, over responding without actually doing work on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like I don't think that isolation's the solution.
Right.
Like I think it's part of the healing process, but I don't think it's like the end all be all, like you're never going to interact with society again now, and that's a better choice than, you know, having relationships. No, absolutely not. I do think that like taking a solid period of time to yourself.
To find yourself is really good. Yeah, for sure.
As long as you're working on those things.
Yeah, and knowing yourself, knowing your boundaries.
To re-enter society, knowing who you are, what you stand for, and what you want in your life.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think that's pretty big. And 21 is like that age where it's like you're all of a sudden like throwing a bunch of responsibilities out of nowhere and just... you have to fend for yourself. Like no one taught you any life skills. They only taught you like math and science and shit. And now you got to like learn how to be an adult.
Right.
From scratch.
Totally.
It's a hard transition era. I think 18 to 25 is like, that's like the hardest transition era.
For sure.
It's a huge chunk of time too. It's like 7 years of transitioning. Cause then you think you get it and then you get like totally thrown off and then you have to establish it again.
Yeah. Well, that's constantly happening through your whole life too.
For sure. Yeah. But I think that more than anything, going from like being treated as a teenager, everything's, you're dependent on everyone for everything, to like, oh, now you're an adult, you got to do everything by yourself.
Yeah.
It's like weird. The hardest, biggest whiplash in life.
Well, we hope that this helps you.
Yeah.
And we're rooting for you out there, and please let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Let us know how it goes. But yeah, work on yourself while in isolation. Don't just isolate for the sake of isolation.
Yeah, I think the way Nikki put it is really good.
Thank you. I'm glad that you re-asked the question to clear that up too. All right, this next one is called Longtime Fan, Short Time Needing Breakup Makeup Advice. All right.
Okay.
Hey, Nikki and Steve. Compliments first. You guys are my absolute favorite couple in the world. I legit talk about how much I love the two of yours relationship in real life to all my friends. If I find something like what y'all have, I'll be the luckiest girl in the world. Oh my gosh, you are so sweet. Thank you for listening to the show. Story time. I truly thought that I had found my own Steve Green. Aw. I'm a 25 female and have had a BFF 25 male for 13 years. I never saw him romantically and vice versa. We have both been in and out of relationships and we have helped each other through our lowest moments. Fast forward October 2022, he's married and his wife cheated on him and treats him horribly. He gets out of that relationship with my help and I tell him I have feelings for him, something that I was going to take to my grave because he was in a relationship. That sounds very familiar, yeah. He says he feels the same way. He leaves his wife and moves across the country to be closer to his family, who coincidentally live 20 minutes from me. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
He can't live with his family. So to get back on his feet, I allow him to live with me. Oh my God, this is juicy.
Steamy.
This is steamy. We intended to go slow and remain friends in this time, but couldn't keep our hands off each other and quickly became boyfriend-girlfriend. I asked him again and again if he was over her, and he said he was. Fast forward a couple months later, he is grieving his marriage and his cat that he left behind with her. He says that he doesn't love her or want to be with her, but he misses what they used to have. That's totally natural.
Totally natural.
He's being told by mutual friends that I maliciously broke them up to be with him.
Holy God.
And oh my God. Some people started rumors like that too.
They sure did. Everyone comes out of the woodwork with the greatest hits.
Yeah. Great. No, never mind the wife cheated on him.
Yeah, no, that doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter.
You broke him up.
Totally.
Yeah, you're the linchpin.
You're the home wrecker.
Totally.
Maliciously broke him up to be with him, and he started believing it, which I previously made sure to tell him was absolutely not the case. He lied to me about sleeping with someone before him and I were official. P.S. I hate the girl he slept with. Wow. I know for a fact I love him, but I do not know if I am or ever was in love with him. I've been in love before. There was no doubt that time. I broke up with him because he was having doubts about my intentions, and that made me feel horrible. I broke up with him because he lied to me and because I can't trust if he's truly ready for a relationship. A few days after I broke up with him, he's doing everything to get me back, taking responsibility, apologizing, talking about how he knows he wants me and how we are soulmates. He's going to therapy and trying to take care of himself. He wants me to give him time. The issue is that I don't know if I can forgive him for all the stuff he said when he was at his lowest. He's my best friend in the entire world, and we would be a perfect love story if it worked out, but I don't know if I ever even truly was in love with him. Another thing, I don't have the biggest boner for him either, LOL. What's the plan, boss? Breakup or makeup?
You're out. You're not in.
Yeah.
You're not in.
I think if you're already having these doubts of like...
What kind of love story is this?
Yeah, no. It's like, yeah, and then we got back together, but...
Imagine me and Nikki.
I don't really have a boner for him.
Imagine hearing me and Nikki's love story, and then you hear like, yeah, and like now it's whatever, but like, you know.
Like, but isn't that story great that we were best friends for 13 years and then like.
So we're trying to justify everything with that.
Yeah, because it's a cute story.
Like, no. You have to be excited to be with this person.
I want to have sex with Steve almost every day. Like,
same.
We don't have sex every day, well, but I want to,
I would.
Is the thing. And
he climbed in my lap last night while I was live streaming.
Yeah.
Because I was playing a video game last night, live streaming on our Patreon.
Yeah.
And you climbed in my lap, and I was like, dude, I would shut this whole thing down right now and just go go pound one out.
I wish you did.
I know, but I was right in the middle.
I know. But that's my whole objective as a wife, is to distract you. And
you do.
And make take dude, you off course.
She comes in the room and
be
she
a temptress.
She hands me a Jello shot. And she's like, here, do a Jello shot.
Dude, I have so many Jello shots left from Super Bowl. Turns out people in their 30s don't care about Jello shots as much as people in their 20s.
Yeah, we found that out the hard way.
I haven't like really gotten my hold on hosting parties yet. I love this house for hosting parties. This is like our third kind of party that we've hosted, a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And last time,
700 Jello shots.
Last time we ran out of drinks really fast,
yes.
And I only made like one. I thought I made a giant pitcher of drinks. I thought that was enough, and it went so freaking fast.
This was Halloween.
This was Thanksgiving.
Oh, Thanksgiving.
So this time I was like, I'm making two full huge thing carafes of drinks. We have double the people coming over, and I'm making tons of Jello shots. That's definitely going to be enough alcohol. And you brought a bunch of beer too.
Yeah.
Like we didn't even dent.
I bought 70
that alcohol.
Beers.
Like, why?
Only, you know what it is? We were compensating because we ran out last time and we felt like scumbags.
Yeah.
We felt like bad hosts and
scumbags.
Yeah,
true. We ran out like big time on Halloween.
Big time.
Thanksgiving.
Let a lot of good people
Thanksgiving,
down.
I amped it up.
Yep.
Still ran out.
Let a lot of people down then too.
Yeah. So this time we were like, listen, we're not going to be the house that runs out. And it was a different crowd.
Different
and
crowd.
They just
much
did
more
not,
mellow.
They did not drink.
Most
very
people
much.
Brought their own beers as well because they have a particular taste in beer.
Yeah.
They brought their own perfect IPA or whatever.
Yeah.
Huge whiff. Anyway, you guys want to come get some Jello shots, you let us know.
Yeah, if you want to break up and then come over and get some Jello shots,
yeah, you let
collect
us know.
your breakup Jello shot.
We got them.
We got a lot.
How long can Jello last? Because we're going to find out.
We're going to find out. I think on my stream, oh, by the way, I stream on Twitch every Sunday. I don't know. It's not a specific time, usually for like 8 hours though. So just stop by any Sunday.
Yeah, for real.
Anytime. I'm thinking about taking a Jello shot for every time I get some specific hand.
You should absolutely do that.
Okay.
And you can that and the amount that we have will last you a couple years.
Yeah. So I'm gonna do that. Because I'll fuck you up without you knowing. But anyway, back to your
question.
No, we're
not ducking you. It's just so easy to me, right?
Yeah.
Like you're not into it. You're questioning if you're even in love with them. Obviously, this is an unrequited love situation where you had to know for sure.
Okay,
right?
But let me just
go for it.
devil's advocate,
please,
because that is how I feel off the jump.
Yes.
You're saying you're not, you don't even know if you were in love with him.
Yes.
And like, he doesn't give you a boner, blah, blah, blah.
Also, he didn't have her back.
That, yeah, that
and
sucks.
That can kill the boner in
exactly.
a deeper way.
And so that's what I was going to get to, is that like, there could be reasons you feel this way right now, but like, you know, if you think there might be still a chance of spark, then you left that out of your email. And I don't know. We're just going about off of what you said. But I will say that the start of the story sounds very familiar to me and Steve's start of our story. And I was actually really upset that people were accusing me of homewrecking when, like, I didn't even want to date Steve for at least 6 months because I didn't want to be a rebound. I didn't even know that I had a crush on him until I got dumped and I was cheated on and we broke up.
Yep.
So I wasn't even open to having a crush on anyone for at least 6 months. And then 6 months into my breakup, I like started realizing that Steve was the type of person that I want. And I didn't even see it before. And then I was like, but it wouldn't be Steve because he's in a relationship. And so I was like keeping my eyes out over here for someone that's like him. And then, you know, Steve gets cheated on and dumped.
Yep,
and
yep.
And then like, I'm like, okay, well, I know what I had to go through to heal. So I'm going to give this at least 6 months. And then we couldn't help it. The shit just moved a lot faster. And then people
insane.
Were like, you're a homewrecker. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
I know. Well, another thing too is nobody knows anything, but we're on the internet. And so they all think that like, oh, we were all this like tight friend group. And it's like, that is not the case, dude.
Not what
you
happened.
Saw us in videos. It's like working with coworkers and be like, you guys were like best friends. It's like, what are you fucking talking about?
Yeah.
You have no idea. There's a lot of stuff you don't know.
Yeah, a lot. We won't get into that.
No, we don't need
but
to.
But what happened though, I will say, and we're going to talk about this in another episode, by the way. I think it's very fitting. So tune in for that episode. I don't know when it's coming out, but because I wanted to know, hearing our love story in the very first year, if we would have told each other to break up.
Yes.
Like if we had written into the show, would we have said break up?
Stay tuned for that.
And we'll get to that on that episode. But I will say that the first year was really hard and there were a lot of misunderstandings, things that rubbed me the wrong way that Steve did that were projections because he was still healing from a 4-year relationship.
Yes.
And they weren't even married. They lived together and had two dogs together. So it felt, you know, very serious, like that level of serious. But
and I was depressed about losing my dog.
Yeah. And he was depressed about losing,
like, for a long time,
that idea of what they had together, for sure.
Not her, but the dogs.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what she said that he said too.
Yeah.
It was like, it's not, he's not in love with her at all,
no.
But he misses their cats. And so I can relate to that. And I can relate to like when someone is going through a breakup, because this is how I felt about when I was going through a breakup with my ex, who was terrible, and I was trying to get over that. I still had a hard time dating new people, even when they were great people, and I like felt this is fun.
Yeah.
But I couldn't I needed to work through the breakup I'd just gone through. So I was giving him a lot of slack because of knowing that that's what I had to go through with my breakup. But there were, you know, things like he never wanted to like post pictures of me on social media, and it like hurt my feelings because like my ex didn't want to either. And it just felt like, are you like ashamed to be with me? Because there was also like, I felt this thing at the time that people didn't really know who I was, and that maybe you didn't like want to be seen as being with me too.
That's
and that
so
hurt,
funny.
Hurt my feelings.
No, for me, it was just that I was in such a public relationship.
Yeah.
I didn't want to like intertwine myself in another public relationship that quickly.
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And so there was this like really big fight that we had in Europe, and Steve said some very hurtful things.
But some true things. I'm kidding.
To this day, I'll never know what he truly feels inside, but he said some really hurtful things that made me so unattracted to him. Like, and I told him, he did a couple other things too, where he would tell me that he was coming over and then he fell asleep, and I felt very like abandoned, like it triggered a lot of things for me, and it made me want to detach. And in that detachment, because we hadn't gotten fully attached yet, even though I really loved him and I thought that like we could become like this thing, and like there was enough spark there, I got super unattracted super fast. Like, and I told him that I was detaching. Like I told him straight up, I can't go through this again. So mm-hmm. I'd rather be single. I was like kind of finding like feeling really, really happy single. So if it's going to be this way in our relationship, like I don't really need this. Like I'm just going to detach. I thought it would be cool, but like it's not. And I'm detaching. And I didn't feel attracted to him like during that like detaching time because it like my feelings were too hurt, you know? And the difference is he immediately owned it. Like immediately was like, I don't want you to detach. I'll do anything to like, I'm going to change this. He listened to me. He validated my feelings and like, I felt heard and I felt like we could work through this and we could let this evolve the way it might, you know, it might be something beautiful.
And I genuinely didn't know how much my actions were affecting you.
Yeah.
And once I heard that and then I was risking losing you.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit. Okay. Now I can kind of see what I'm doing a lot better.
Yeah. Like I was like, if I cut this now, I'm not too far in the love hole that I could get over this quickly.
Yeah.
You know, like, but I don't want to, like, I like what we have. I just don't know if like if we can put in the work right now because he's still healing from his breakup.
Exactly.
And so.
And that's what I didn't know either is I thought, okay, well, I flushed that.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Because you didn't have feelings for her anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then, but then you just don't realize that, you know.
There's a lot of baggage that you bring from that other relationship that takes a while to shed, whether you like it or whether you think you're strong or not, you know, subconsciously, it
and
takes a while
like
to shed.
Seeing Franklin. Like would just make me sad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I remember that.
Yeah. And it was really bad. But it was like that for a long time.
For a couple of years.
For like probably 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Because you know, I'm such an animal person. The idea that my dog never knew what happened to me, I could cry about it right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I love that dog.
Yeah.
And I love both of those dogs. We had just gotten one of those dogs too.
Mm-hmm.
And just there's so much to it, but yeah. I don't want to villainize anybody or whatever.
That's why I'm giving him benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah.
That like, I think he might truly mean it when he's coming to you saying he's scared of losing you, saying that he fucked up and owning everything and apologizing. I think he might truly mean it. And if you wanted to give another shot, and a spark did reignite. I wouldn't be opposed to that, like this being, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I don't think I'm like a hard breakup, you know? It sounds like you're pretty over it.
Yeah.
But
You gave good context.
He hasn't given you enough for you to be completely in love yet anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he could, but if he could, then maybe it would be that love story. But it sounds like right now you're kind of at a fork in the road where like you could go either way. And by the way, there'll be another one out there for you who's more emotionally available. And now that you know what you want, that's like half of the battle.
Yeah,
like
you'll
knowing
it.
No, yeah, you'll attract what you want. So, you know, you're going to be fine no matter what. Either way, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But the choice is like, you know, do you want to try it one more time with your best friend of 13 years or.
And if they're your best friend still, I mean, that sounds like a good foundation to me.
Yeah. But I mean, he's going to have to
grovel,
work to build back your trust and stuff. Cause that fucking sucks that he didn't have your back.
Yeah.
Cause the one
that's
thing
so
I,
weird
the
too.
One thing I will say is during that time, Steve never was like, did she break us up?
Oh my
you
God.
You know, like never.
Insulting.
I would be so insulted. There was one time where I was super insulted because.
I know exactly when.
Yeah, you know exactly what time. I don't really have to say, right?
Go for it.
Well, okay. Well, So I spent a lot of time at the YouTube space editing videos because I couldn't afford my own editing program at the time, and they offered free resources, and it was like a far drive. It was all the way in Marina Del Rey, which is like an hour drive from the valley if in traffic, yeah, which there's always traffic in LA. You're looking at a minimum 45 minute drive. So when I drive there, I want to spend as many hours there as possible. And at the YouTube space at the time, because it was new and like they wanted everyone to be having a good time, there were parties every night where they had free beer on tap, craft beer on tap. They had free pizza. And so I couldn't afford food at that time. I was like so broke at that time. So I would stay and eat the free pizza and like have a few beers. And Steve and I were supposed to go to Target. Like we were like, we had mentioned like going to Target, like, hey, you want to go to Target tomorrow night? Yeah. Like, I don't know. That was kind of our thing. Like, we just like to walk around Target.
We still do.
But I didn't know it was like a hard date, whatever. I just thought like that was a proposal. Like, we could go and hang out and go to Target. But I was still editing my video. And also, I was a little tipsy and couldn't drive 45 minutes in traffic. And so I was waiting for that buzz to wear off, which like I only had a drink and a half or two drinks or whatever. So it's not going to take very long, probably like an hour and a half or whatever's left of the time that since I last drank. And so I was on the phone with him and I was like, yeah, I just need to, I'm just going to stay here for like an hour and a half more to like let that go. And he got really cold on me, just like super cold, like shut down cold. And later I was like, why are you so mad? And he was like, oh, well, we were supposed to go to Target and we couldn't because you were drunk. And he's like, I don't want to be seen with someone that has a drinking problem. Like, what if my ex sees us at a VidCon and you're all drunk? And I was like, that is so fucking insulting,
yeah, so insulting
that you would be embarrassed of me after all of that. Like, if my ex saw you and you were drunk, I would be like, so fuck off. Like,
it wasn't true, though. I was just trying to, I was just mad that I felt brushed off and I was just trying to hurt you, which is really, really petty and stupid.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, one of my talents, which is also one of my biggest problems, is that I know exactly how to hurt somebody, like verbally, if I ever need to, because I was bullied as a kid.
Yeah.
So I just know how to like get you back so you'll leave me alone and move on to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the next customer, please. Right.
Yeah.
That was a stupid thing.
Yeah, he's had some foot and mouth moments, but the thing about Steve is he'll own it.
Yeah, 100%.
He'll own it and apologize, and then we don't really have that problem ever again. Like whatever that was, like he doesn't do it again. He feels like a dummy. And I really, those kind of moments really made me love him more. Like, it really made me feel like, well, now I feel like he has my back because he's taking accountability for him being
the
dummy.
If you're going to fuck up, you better own it. You better own it.
But yeah, there were times like that where I was just like, I don't need to be with this person. Like, that, like, they're like honestly turning me off.
Yeah.
And I was really vocal about that too. Like, I think being clear and not holding it in and not like letting that like the ick just spread without like voicing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him a chance to rectify it. Like, a lot of people don't give the chance. Like, they just go, well, fuck you then, I'm out. And I think that that's a lot of the building blocks of the solid relationship, is you gotta like work together to find solutions. And then if you guys have exhausted your resources and still don't see eye to eye, or you still turn each other off, then you're done. But at least you'd know that you tried to work as a team and to build all that. Because that first year was hard, but we very quickly learned how to work as a team.
Yes.
And I think that was paramount.
Our conflict resolution is unrivaled.
Absolutely. And because of that, there's no resentment. Like, a lot of people go, oh, like married couples, they're sexless, because you know why? Because they have a lot of resentment towards each other. They think they're on opposing teams and they can't wait for like an argument to happen so they could bring up all the other shit they never fix anything.
And Steve Green theory, they also rip farts around each other all the time.
Yeah.
And they just turn into each other's roommates.
So how are you going to be attracted to someone that you have resentment for and that you think is disgusting?
Exactly.
You're not. You're just not going to be, you don't want, you're not you're not getting boners for them.
And there's plenty of mystery out there around you. There's a lot of people who don't fart who are attractive.
Who haven't built resentment.
Yep. And then all of a sudden you find the wandering eye and people just can't fucking believe where it came from. Well, it's not hard for us to see.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Exactly. So if he's owning it right now, I say give him a chance. If you still find yourself not attracted, not in love after working on it for a couple months, if you do decide to give him another shot, then yeah, at least you tried. And then at least it could be amicable. Like you can come from a clear headspace. Like, you know, I just, that one, it hurt too much and I can't, I'm over it. Like I just got over it. I thought we could make it work and we couldn't, you know.
We're rooting for you.
And we're rooting for you.
Big time.
Yeah.
Please let
Whichever way it goes though, I think you'll be fine.
You're going to be totally fine.
You have a solid head on your shoulders.
100%.
And on that note, we're going to go to a break.
Yep.
Please buy whatever we buy or download whatever we tell you to download because our sponsors are amazing and they support the show.
And it helps so very much. So
and
thank you.
It helps so much.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And we're back with more of your questions. These are juicy questions. That last one was pretty spicy,
last
too.
Was very
like,
spicy.
Got very like...
steamy,
ooh,
spicy.
Oh, and then he did what?
Yep.
And they live 20 minutes from me?
I know.
I loved it. All right. This one is titled, Should We Break Up? Help. I love you. I love you guys. This is all caps. We love you too. Thank
you
for writing in. Okay. Hello, Nikki and Steve. I have a lot of problems. But before I get into them, I think some compliments are in order. Thank you so much. By the way, if you're new to listening to the show, we are absolutely fueled by compliments.
Yes.
We cannot do our show without compliments.
We both needed attention
growing
up.
We needed a lot.
And so here we are.
And so this is what we do it for.
Yes.
Yeah. First off, I've watched all of Nikki's videos on both of her channels. You are my favorite YouTuber, and I love and greatly respect you. I'm also ADHD, have anxiety, depression, etc., so I really can relate to you and think that we'd be besties if we lived closer. Same. Also, I've been meaning to do an episode on ADHD because I feel like it is some shit they don't tell you.
There you go.
And I want to address, like, a lot of people have been diagnosed over the past 2 years because of the pandemic, because of TikTok and all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of interesting shit about it. But anyway, that's my ADD going off on a tangent.
Yep.
Here we go. Steve, you're an amazing husband and you do everything you can to make Nikki happy, which I greatly respect. You are funny and in an annoying way.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
This is very sweet. Thank you so much. We appreciate your compliments.
Yes.
Deep breath. Please prepare for an intense story. I already know that I'm the a-hole and I'm still trying to process everything. Okay, well, we're going to reserve judgment until you get through your story. 6 months ago, my husband and I decided to try going polyamorous. We did this for a couple of reasons. My husband has very low testosterone and I'm lucky if I got sex once a month from him. He also didn't want any kids and I told him that if we don't, then I need to find a way to spend my time and give more love to something or someone else. Wow. This is already so juicy.
Yeah.
When we first started, my husband wasn't getting a lot of hits on the dating apps, but I was. That always happens.
Always happens.
Long story short, it's always like the guy that suggests it usually,
and
then
so good.
The girl gets all these requests.
Of course.
Long story short, I dated quite a few people and thought that I just wanted to satisfy my sexual needs. But after a couple dates with this one person, let's call him Andrew, I fell in love. He's been married for 20 years and poly for 5. His wife and I have become friends, and we've all had game nights together and are very open about the situation. My husband and him had an agreement that they were perfectly happy to share me among themselves. Since they both have a deep and meaningful relationship with me, after realizing my feelings for Andrew, I had agreed to be exclusive to him and my husband, let's call him Tommy. Because I am so self-conscious about myself, I had weight loss surgery last year and lost about 120 pounds, but still feel like that fat girl. I doubted Andrew's love and devotion to me. He's a very private man, and even though I've told him many times that I love him, he's never said it back. I told him not to ever say it unless he truly means it. In this process, I ended up dating a few more people and deeply regret it. Now I realize that I don't want anyone else. The big event. Tommy and I had a New Year's party where we invited a lot of people. Ironically, we only had one couple who showed up that wasn't poly or ethically non-monogamous. We all got cross-faded and got very flirty. All that is, except for Andrew, who was on his phone most of the night. He was thinking about spending the night, but he was so uncomfortable with how open everyone was being that he decided to leave shortly after midnight. I also shared some very intimate details about some personal time with Andrew that he didn't want anyone to know. I don't even remember most of this night, just what I've been told. When Andrew left, I ended up taking another shot, which was of some tequila from Mexico with the worm in it. Oh shit. After swallowing the worm, I went from messed up to incomprehensible. And then I proceeded to make out with both of my husband's girlfriends and one of their boyfriends made a move on me when I was alone in the kitchen. But that's not the worst of it. I ended up having a threesome with my husband and one of his girlfriends. My husband says that he asked if I was okay, and I drunkenly said, yeah, why? Instead of taking that as me being far too gone, he decided to proceed. The next morning was a blur, but with his girlfriend being in the bed, I knew what happened. I was so ashamed. To make matters worse, my husband's other girlfriend and his boyfriend spent the whole day there. That morning, the boyfriend tried kissing me again and putting his head in my lap. I was in complete shock. My husband was sending me private messages saying that we looked cute together, but I've known this person since childhood and see him was more of a brother, so I was very uncomfortable. Because of this night, my partner and I almost broke up, and I decided to get another STI/STD panel. My results were life-changing. After testing twice, I was told that I am herpes type 2 positive. I told my partners, and they all get tested. Everyone is negative. Even my husband and his girlfriend. I'm writing this on the 23rd of January and haven't even masturbated since that night. I feel violated and betrayed. My husband and I have been together for 10 plus years and I trusted him to keep me safe that night. Now I'm having PTSD episodes from when I was raped before my husband and I started dating. I know that the herpes is on me, but I don't think I can ever sleep with Tommy again. I feel betrayed. He knows of my past and I know this would never have happened with Andrew. I'm trying to find a way to still be with my husband in some way, but I don't know what to do to salvage what's left of our relationship. It's heartbreaking. I'm tempted to move to the basement or move out altogether. Do you have any thoughts that might help? I appreciate some feedback. P.S. I know you aren't experts, and my therapist has only said things like, wow, this is a saga. I can't wait till the next episode, which isn't helpful. I'm trying to find a new therapist. Yeah, definitely find a new therapist. But maybe one that specializes in relationships and, like, especially polyamory, because
I'm not qualified to answer this.
I agree. Like,
this is insane.
We've talked about this before, actually, because in LA especially, I felt like it was very normalized to cheat on your partner. Like, a lot of people that we knew, like, thought it was pretty normal, and they take their partner back if they cheated on them, if they worked
and
it
they
out
did.
Or whatever.
That
and they did.
Too. Yeah.
And like Steve and I were just like mind blown, because like people were like you've never cheated on someone. You know, like it was very common. Like everyone's cheated on someone and we just haven't. Like I've never cheated on anyone ever.
Half of Tuber couples we know did that shit.
Yeah. And and maybe Steve's full of shit and lying to me, but I'm pretty sure he's not. We both, like, when we're in a relationship with a person, we have blinders on.
Full,
like,
blinders.
I can't even imagine touching or kissing another guy.
Same.
Like, I just can't.
Especially
like, it seems like everyone else is like blobs, and I find people interesting. I find people like attractive in a sense, like this is an attractive person.
Right.
You know, this is a beautiful person. This is a bubble, you know, like, oh, this person is very charismatic, you know, but I don't have any desire to date anyone else, to have sex with anyone else, to kiss anyone else, to be with anyone else at all. And so it's really hard for me to, I'm not judgmental at all for people that are polyamorous. I know many people who are in poly relationships. I just can't comprehend it. So I don't know how to give advice on it because this is a lot of, you know, there's like with polyamory, with open relationships, it is 100% up to you as a couple to decide what the rules are. You know, and like every relationship, I think this is the misunderstanding with polyamory is, and why it gets judged is because people are like, oh, you're just a bunch of like whores having orgies. But it's not really that. It's like you guys have rules, right? Like you have specific rules. And so I don't know what's assholey or not, to be honest.
All I can go off is some trust was broken. I don't know what the rules are.
If you had an agreement that you would only be exclusive to your husband and Andrew, to Tommy and Andrew, and then
you're making out with this chick.
And you had a threesome with your husband and his girlfriend, then it does seem like you cheated because you broke the agreement that you made.
But then it's with her husband though, so that's the part that I just absolutely blows my mind.
It's the husband and the other person.
Right. I understand.
So I think that's the point.
And she was drunk.
Right.
So yeah, it's like a whole.
So yeah, it does seem like in your specific relationship's rules, you broke one and you cheated. And then you got an STI, which who knows who it came from though, because if everyone else tested negative, like I don't know, like where that came from. Then I don't know. Maybe you might have gotten it before that incident,
right?
And you didn't know. So maybe it could have happened from Andrew.
I'm just not wired this way. Because like if, for example, a chick was laying on my lap and Nikki's texting me that we would look cute together,
yeah,
that would throw my whole world away. Like that's like like my entire like there's like a base layer of foundation with me and Nikki, right?
Yeah.
And it's just me and Nikki, and the idea that Nikki doesn't see that base layer of foundation,
yeah,
and wants to like incorporate somebody else turns me off so hard that like I could feel my stomach go into my
butt. Monogamous people.
Yeah.
Like I know everything's a spectrum of like, you know, some people are okay with threesomes. They don't see that as cheating if you agree with your partner. But like that's it. You know, that's where they draw the line. Or like some people are okay with an open relationship, but they wouldn't like get involved with the person that it's just for sex and like there's no relationships happening. So that's an open relationship. Polyamory is like where like you guys are in agreement that you're exclusive to each other. You're like you're all in a relationship. So there's a lot of different levels. We're like so on the monogamous side that it's like it's crazy. Wild. Like
Nikki drunk made out with her friend one time while I was there, and I was pissed.
Yeah, he was really. I never had that reaction happen from any other boyfriend.
Normally, guys, it's like chicks making out
because
let's
it wasn't
go.
Sexual. It was like we're wild and drunk. We're making out and it was just like more like stupid, like just being stupid drunk. But there was no sexual nothing. Like the thought of that to me is like, but so I had never been with a boyfriend that saw that as cheating or in some way cheating.
Or like sus, yeah.
Yeah, or sus. So he got really taken aback by that.
He was super mad.
Yeah. So we had a lot of,
I didn't ruin the night. I was very, I let it,
but
you know,
I could tell he was mad about something and I couldn't tell what, but I could tell he was mad.
But that's all. That's just a boundary that it's just something that it's like, it was good to know.
And I apologize. I didn't know. And like, we definitely set that rule right away.
I kicked Nikki out of the house for a while and then,
I did go to Arizona the next day. It wasn't because he kicked me out.
No.
But yeah, so when it comes to am I the asshole? I don't know.
I understand what your therapist was saying, but like I'm in the maze too.
That's why I'm saying if you can find a therapist that
knows polyamory.
Yeah, more like consults polyamorous couples or thruples or, you know, has more specialized in the relationship department because there's a lot of different specialties. And I'm pretty sure that if you specialize in relationship therapy, you're probably going to deal with polyamorous people and relationships, so they're more qualified to give advice. Definitely find a new therapist.
And I know you said we're not qualified, but I'm just telling you, literally, I don't understand the rules and shit.
Yeah. also, like, I don't understand really the basis of the question. Like, are you trying to salvage the relationship with Andrew? If so, you should have him get tested because maybe he's the one that gave you an STI, because right. That wasn't clear here either. And if it, you know, he might be willing to, he might be understanding. It all depends.
Sounds like she just wants to be with Andrew, though.
It does sound like that.
So, like, maybe focus on that?
Yeah. Yeah, I would focus on that. Trying to resolve things with Andrew.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like you got betrayed by your husband, but I don't know if it was clear to him.
I have no idea, but, yeah.
Like, maybe he didn't know how far gone you were.
Right.
I'm not sure, honestly. I'm really not sure. This is a lot of entanglement going on. It's a great question. Very juicy.
Really good.
Thank you for submitting this.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
But maybe people in the comments know. Maybe, like, if there's polyamorous people in the comments, if you have some advice for our fellow listener here, you know, definitely let us know. Be respectable, please. It doesn't matter if, like, I just went through Twitter, like, where I'm part of poker Twitter. There was this whole, like, drama where a poker player was calling this girl a whore because she was polyamorous, and, like, she wasn't, like, trying to, like, get with anyone at the table or anything. He just asked if she had a boyfriend, and she, like, explained her situation, like, that she was polyamorous, and he started just going off calling her a whore, like, a bunch, and wouldn't shut up, and he didn't get kicked out. And so,
why not?
Yeah, exactly. So this has been a whole conversation, like, polyamory in the Twitter space, and there's been a lot of people in the comments that were really judgmental about, like, well, he's right, you are a whore.
That surprises me about a comment section, honestly.
Right. Especially on Twitter.
I'm very shocked, yeah.
But I'm just saying, in our comment section, be respectful, even if it's not what you personally
And maybe
do.
Even be respectful.
Be respectable. Eat a dick, Green. eat a monogamous
come
dick.
Come get this one. Come eat this one.
No.
Let's go.
Not anymore.
Aw, man.
No. Don't correct my English and grammar. All right. We got one more question for you guys. And two. Okay. This person's sneaking in an extra one. Okay. Oh, by the way, I hope that helped. This one is titled Two Questions with No Correlation Whatsoever. Okay. Great. Love it. What's up, Steve and Nikki? You put the name order wrong, but okay.
You nailed it.
I'll forgive you. First off, thank you for changing my life. Aw. This is my third time writing to you guys, and y'all's expert advice has shown me I am both very agnostic and very anxious. Honestly, who needs to pay for therapy when I could write two professionals for free? We are not professionals.
Well, I bet you the last person's like, they're not professionals. This is fucking the most whack answer I ever got in my whole life.
Pretty much. We were like, we're very monogamous, and let me push up my glasses a little bit.
Exactly.
Do you want a Bible, ma'am? After I realized I had anxiety, I did further research and realized my problem was that my thoughts were taking over my mind. He also helped me realize I had branded myself as an overthinker, which just added to the problems. I learned about meditation, which helped a lot. My mind felt clearer than it has ever been. I now have much more on my plate, less time to meditate, and feel as if the fog is coming back. I was wondering if you guys have any advice on dealing with anxiety on a day-to-day basis, especially on those days where it feels like you're completely trapped in your own mind. I also remember Steve saying that his resting state was being present. Could you elaborate on your process of doing that?
Yes.
I'll get to the second question after that, but since he said it was irrelevant, like, let's just go one at a time.
So there's a place that I can go to anytime I want, and I, for some reason, I've just been doing this ever since I was a little kid, and I can just center myself really easily that way. And so it's almost like I think the best way to describe this to people is, like, picture your favorite place, like maybe an island in the middle of, like, a turquoise ocean or some shit like that. And, like, picture that you're there and you can smell the air and, like, you're present there, right? And just take a picture of that. And like, all the feelings that you get when you're there and all that kind of stuff, right? Like take a picture of that and just, like, remember that. And if any point in your day where things are elevated or shit's getting crazy, I could just go there, boom, and I'm there and I'm back to being normal. And I think that's what helps me, you know, I don't think you ever see me get that angry.
No.
Or like that freaked out, or like, you know, I watched Luna $1 million turn to zero and like I'm fine. Like, but why? It's because I have this beautiful centering thing that I've just always had. And yeah, I really, you know, I think if I'm ever away from it, then I could get tilted or whatever, but it's just always there for me. So I think maybe you could do it like that, like picturing a place or
yeah,
a memory or whatever it is.
It's a nice go-to. Also, box breathing I heard really helps, which is where you go like count to four when you breathe in, 1, 2, 3, 4, hold for 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, out for 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, hold for 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So there's a box breathing.
Yeah.
And there's also like a 4, 4, 8, 16 or something where you like breathe in for 4, hold for 8, breathe out for 16. So there's like that. Those breathing exercises do help calm you down instantly. But I do find that my natural state is overwhelm.
Yes.
Because correct, there are like 1,000 thoughts like at all times. And sometimes I'm able to reel them in mostly by making lists or, doing an activity that's centering, such as meditating or like even putting away the dishes, like kind of like puts me in a present state of mind and like puts everything in an order that I can just do one step at a time. But there are times, and especially scrolling on the social media does not help, because sometimes no, I just go to it to try to clear my mind, which absolutely adds to the chaos. And then I'm thinking about how little time I have left and how there's all these different things that I need to do and I can't prioritize them, and everything just seems like the most important. This happened to me yesterday, and I just had to list out all of the things that were in my head, because sometimes I get inundated with ideas, and that's not bad. Like, it's a lot of creative ideas. Mm-hmm. As a creative person, I'm always like looking for ideas, but sometimes they flood out of nowhere and I don't have an outlet for them. It's not like, oh, I've been trying to think of a new recipe to do for Tasty Tuesday, and then I get a bunch of recipes. Cool, I know exactly where to put them. No, this is like a bunch of ideas in a bunch of different directions. Like, we should do this, we should do that, we should do this. So I like wrote out all of it. Like, hey, ask this person about this one gig. Hey, should we do a photo shoot? Oh, we do need a photo shoot if we're going to relaunch this jewelry line. But I don't know, it's not launching till April. So maybe we don't need to do it right now, but he's in town right now. But I don't know if I'll be in LA next month. If we miss him this weekend, will we miss the whole photography session? And then I need to fill my hot tub, and LaCroix sent me a mini fridge, and there's this affiliate package that I need to review before signing. And then how do I even add the buttons to my webpage on Twitch? Oh my God, I'm so new at Twitch. I got to learn how to use a HUD, because everyone else uses a HUD on poker streaming and I'm at a disadvantage by not using it. The house is really messy. Oh, I'm half finished editing this vlog. Like, all of these thoughts are all at the same time, and I'm not even a quarter way through this list.
I believe you.
And I'm just saying that, so when I say I'm unqualified, I am, but I can only tell you what semi works, and that is listing everything out to get it out of my head. Getting it out of my head is like the number one, because if I don't write it somewhere, it's like my brain thinks, if I get present, I'm going to lose all of these important ideas and thoughts and stuff. So if I dump it somewhere, like a journal or an iPhone list or something, then at least my brain feels safe. Like, the thoughts are somewhere that we don't need to think about them right now. They're not going away. We have them. They're safe. They're locked up. And now we can just focus on what we need to do today. And then I was able to, after I listed all this out, I was able to focus one by one on what I needed to do, which was I needed to study something and like for poker, and then I needed to fill out a tax thing, and then I needed to do these like HOA stuff. Like,
so it was, writing it down, you know, it
was like,
you.
Yeah, but yeah. Like, I none of that was even on the list. I just needed to get all the thoughts out.
Yeah.
But so writing it down is number one, and then I'm able to like go to a state like that.
Okay.
But sometimes when he's saying that he doesn't have time to meditate now, it's weird how meditation works, because the more you feel like you don't have time, the more you actually do need to meditate.
That's true.
Because meditate expands. Time is like a perception. So we're getting super meta here.
Let's go.
But like, time is not linear, and it's just a perception. And the more you think you don't have time, the less time you have, right? But if you can meditate and carve out like even 10 minutes to meditate, it's like you have an expansion of time. And I can't explain it because I'm not a scientist, but it works. Like, you need to meditate more if you have less time.
Or, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But also, don't forget about the snapshot thing. If you can get really good at it, like, to where it yeah. becomes a snapshot, you
When you're meditating, you can just picture that.
Yeah, exactly.
You just picture that as, picture that, as your meditation.
The more you're doing that, the more you can turn it into a snapshot, and the more you can just bounce there.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I wish everyone could do that. But bouncing there and bouncing back is my
yeah method. I don't feel like I can bounce with a snapshot,
yeah,
but I have been able to bounce with songs.
There you go.
So there's like a certain song can bring me back to a good energy place,
yeah,
where I'm present and I'm here and I'm ready to go, let's go. But the snapshot, I just get anxiety because what if I can't picture it right away? Like,
right.
And then what was that snapshot again? Like, what was the part that was relaxing about it? Was it the waves over my feet? Like, what was the part? Like, and I'm yeah. just, I'm in my head too much.
I get it.
But it does work when I'm already in a centered place.
Yeah, exactly. What was part two?
And then part two is, this question is random as fuck, but do you have any tips on how to trade options? I'm a complete beginner and would like to know where to start. I don't have much in my portfolio about 1K, but I'm working on building it up when I'm done DCAing. Woo. What are some strategies, books, and or YouTubers that you would recommend for me?
Don't forget Kuji. Everyone's sleeping on Kuji.
Yes, I'm working on getting therapy. I'm just hella broke and on some bad credit Nikki era shit. Understandable.
Let's go.
Well, I wouldn't recommend trading options if you are hella broke right now because it's super volatile. Like, if anything, you should be DCAing and then, you know, maybe put it in an index or something less volatile, right? If you're that broke, right? Because you just need to build a stack, right?
Build wealth.
Options are super volatile because it's like day trading. But I will say, if you follow Phil Town, we took a whole course from him and it was amazing. Yeah. Actually, he has a formula with a 90% success rate of trading options where you will 90% you're going to be profitable. In fact, he did 30 years of back testing on using this method, and no matter what, like, you come out profitable. Like, you don't lose money as long as you continue to stick to this system. And it was because of this system that I learned from him, and I started using the system with options trading, and it did work. You have to be like doing it every month, right? Because it's very marginal. Your edges are just like, they're so little. And instead of taking big risks like a lot of day traders do, you're just taking really, really minor things that add up over a long period of time, but that can net you like 15% a year if you're doing it correctly.
And you're getting out at certain points too for certain reasons.
Yeah, exactly. And he has these stop losses, these alerts that you can set, things like that. It's really good. So check him out, Phil Town. He wrote a book called Rule Number One. He's more of a value trade investor, but like a Warren Buffett style strategy.
Like,
but
a Steve Green style.
He found this options strategy using the Kelly formula, which actually a blackjack guy, the guy that figured out how to card count, he wrote a book called Beat the Dealer, and it was using this Kelly formula. He instead went into the stock market with it, and that's how he continually beats the stock market. So it's using that formula. And because of learning this, that had this huge success rate, is how I got into GTO poker strategy.
True.
Where I was like, yeah, I heard that if you use a certain strategy that over time you can beat the variance of poker. And that's how I got into like poker, because you could use a much smaller bankroll and see like big results right away. And I was like, well, I'll build my bankroll with poker, then put it into the options, like,
I know.
And then build it into value investing.
You also just fucking love poker.
But too. I just fucking love poker.
So, yeah.
So that never happened. I never put it back into the options strategy. I just like full on went poker. But that's a different story. Anyway, I highly recommend that. I don't know many other people who can give you options trading advice that isn't super volatile. Like, and if you're at a really broke point, like, I just don't think it's worth it. There are so many other things you can do to build your money that are less risky.
Don't forget about Kuji, bro. Everyone's sleeping on Kuji. Don't forget about Kuji. I know we're woo boys and girls out there, but don't forget about Kuji.
Woo mans.
Well, I'm the woo man.
Woo man era.
Yeah. Yep.
Woo mans are very kind. Womankind.
I'm telling you, it's very empowering ever since I became a woo man.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so empowered.
That's great.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you ever scared as a woman, like walking alone at night?
Well, no, why would I?
Because you have a lot of woo on you.
Oh, well, yeah, I know, but it's on my ledger.
Oh, true.
So it's totally fine.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, I hope that these answers helped some of your questions out there. Again, we are not professionals, but you did ask for our opinions, and we did give it to you. So that's, you asked for that. And any results, we are we're not liable for, unless you had really great results, and then that was all us. Okay, so you better come back and thank us. And so let us know, and so come back and thank us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And be sure to check out our sponsors. Be sure to check out our Patreon. And drop by on Sunday if you want Jello shots. You know, we got a lot.
Twitch.tv/TrickNicks. That's it.
Link in the description. Chickity, check it out.
TrickNicks.
TrickNicks.
Let's go.
Great branding. Super easy to remember.
All right, see you guys in the next one.
Okay, bye.